probably we can also relate to that. Have you ever been convinced that this is what God wanted you to do, and hit it off on your own to do your own thing, thinking you were fulfilling God's will, only to look back and say, "Oh, that was not too wise." So, you know, we can sit here around this table and judge Abram and Sarai, you know, from our comfortable seats here, but the reality is, in our lives, we have mimicked them with our own bad decisions at one time or another in our own lives, and suffered the ramifications of that. So, thanks be to God again for His love and His forgiveness through Jesus. Questions or comments?
You know, not that anyone's innocent in this, but Ishmael didn't stand a prayer.
I know.
He didn't do anything.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he was in a very bad situation from the start. Yep. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And that's what you were kind of referring to, too, Judy. I know.
And, like, even even before he was born, he was going to be an explanation, a donkey of a man.
Yeah, I know. And so I guess the comfort to Hagar was, I'm going to have a son, which was, you know, again, in the culture was a huge blessing, super important. But so she was going to give birth and her son was going to survive. He'd be fine. But yeah, he was going to be a wild man.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too far afield on this, but realize that there are still children born in situations where they don't have much of a chance in this world. You know, that can take us down that pathway. Why does a loving God let that happen? And we can't go there because we don't understand and we don't see like God sees, and He has a bigger, grander plan through it all. And so finally, we just have to trust that God knows what He's doing. I mean, here's the reality, right? The reality is that if God was dead set against this happening, Hagar would not have conceived. Right? Because it wasn't Abram and Sarai's, hey, let's do this. And oh, look what happened. God said, okay, I'll give you a child. So, and look at all we heard about how, he would be the father of huge nations himself. And so there was tremendous blessings that came from that as well. And some of Ishmael's descendants will meet in heaven. So, any other thoughts? This is all kind of eye-opening. You could probably what's the word I'm looking for? You could put together a pretty good soap opera from the events in the Bible.
Yeah.
All right. We talked about who met Hagar by the spring in the desert. The angel of the Lord. Now that's really, really, really intriguing. Who was the angel of the Lord?
It was God.
And clearly it was God based on what He said to her, right? He told her what this boy's name should be. The angel of the Lord told Hagar, all kinds of things that only God could say to her. So let's get into this paragraph down below. We could spend a whole hour on this, but let's go through it briefly. Who is the angel of the Lord? The precise identity of the angel of the Lord is not specifically given in the Bible. However, there are many important clues to his identity. There are Old and New Testament references to angels of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord. It seems when the definite article the is used in the Hebrew, It is specifying a unique being separate from the other angels. The angel of the Lord speaks as God, identifies himself with God, and exercises the responsibilities of God. In other words, an angel of the Lord could not say the things that the angel of the Lord says. And think even of the angels appearing to different people in the Bible, right? Even Joseph, an angel appeared to Joseph, an angel appeared to Mary, right? And they were messengers of what God said to them, right? They made it clear. This is what the Lord has said. You do not see that in the examples of the angel of the Lord. Now realize as you hear about other angels, as you go through like the summary of, you'll then, you know, an angel of the Lord appeared to so-and-so, the angel said. So, okay, recognize sometimes a definite article is used in those descriptions, but when it's identified as the angel of the Lord, that's unique. Did I just lose you there, or do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, in several of these appearances, and a whole bunch of references are given to you there. In several of these appearances, those who saw the angel of the Lord feared for their lives because they had seen the Lord. Therefore, it is clear that in at least some instances, the angel of the Lord is a theophany, an appearance of God in physical form. The appearances of the angel of the Lord cease after the incarnation of Christ. Incarnation, you familiar with what that means? Jesus becoming flesh. So the appearances of the angel of the Lord cease after Jesus was born. Angels are mentioned numerous times in the New Testament, but the angel of the Lord is never mentioned in the New Testament. It is likely that appearances of the angel of the Lord were manifestations of Jesus before his incarnation. Jesus declared himself to be existent before Abram, so it is logical that he would be active and manifest in the world. Whatever the case, whether the angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, Christophany, or an appearance of God the Father, a theophany, it is highly likely that the phrase, the angel of the Lord, identifies a physical appearance of God. Questions or comments on that?
Is that how it was referred to when Moses saw the burning bush? Was he referred to as God or the angel? I can't remember. The angel of the Lord.
As I think back on that, Judy, I don't remember the angel of the Lord being mentioned there, but it is clear from the words that were spoken that this was God appearing to Moses. And again, we don't, this is so fascinating because you have the Father, right? The Son and the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. So how does that work that one person of God, how does it work that one person of God is born? I mean, God is so far beyond our comprehension. We just can't wrap our minds around it. But the general consensus among theologians is when you hear of the angel of the Lord, that is the pre-incarnate Christ. That doesn't mean every appearance of God in the Old Testament is Jesus. Like the pillar that led the Israelites, you know, and then guarded the blocked others from getting to them, the pillar of fire at night, pillar of cloud by day. That is generally thought of as being God the Father. But we don't know. How does that all, we can't begin to wrap our minds around the concept of the triune God. But we don't even know for sure that the angel of the Lord is Jesus before he was born. It could be God the Father appearing in that form. So it's one of those things that we'll have to ask the Lord about when we get to heaven. By the way, Lord, I've been wondering. Heaven won't be heaven unless you tell me. Questions or comments on this? All right. What did the angel of the Lord tell Hagar to do? It's just what Hagar wanted to hear. Go back to your mistress. Go back to Sarah. Yeah. And submit to her. And then what did he tell her about her child? We spoke about some of this already. I give you the verses. Verse 10. Yeah, your descendants will be too numerous to count. So Hagar, your existence right now is unpleasant. You know, and Hagar, I mean, Ishmael is going to have a tough life. But here's the reality. He is going to have so many, you and he are going to have so many descendants. You can't even count them all. Wow. That's pretty awesome. I think if you look at the Arab nation, you kind of you get a pretty good sense of how many descendants that is.
Maybe that's what wild donkey of a man
did. Yeah.
Creating descendants.
It probably was part of it. Yeah. Verse 11.
You're a child.
You'll have a son. Yeah, you'll have a son. And 11 also, number 3.
Name him
Ishmael. What does that mean? You have footnotes in your Bible?
God hears.
So Hagar, don't you think she's fled? Don't you think, again, assuming Abraham has taught his household about the true God, don't you think that she is, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking to the Lord?
Yeah, that's how the impression I got.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't specifically say that, does it? But the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. There's a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And doesn't it seem logical to you that she's fled for her life? She doesn't know what her future holds. She's pregnant with a child. And that she would talk, that she'd be talking to God. You know, that she'd be praying. And hence, even when God gave her the name of the son, the name means God hears. The implication seems to me anyways that Hagar, I heard your pleas. I heard your prayers. I hear your agony, your difficulty. I know you're wondering about your future. I just want you to know your son is, I want you to name him Ishmael because God hears you. We talked about this already, verse 12. He will be a wild donkey of a man. What an expression. Well, I guess I hope that's not what he looked like. Then he'd really have a tough life, wouldn't he? I suspect that is more the attributes of a wild donkey than the appearance of a wild donkey.
Yeah.
Also verse 12, because his hand will be against everyone. And again, I wonder, I can't help but wonder if some of this was just bitterness from Ishmael growing up in a very, very tense household where he knew that his mother's mistress was, he didn't want him there, resented him. You know, Abram had to be really careful with how he dealt with Ishmael. Because otherwise Sarai, he's going to incur the wrath of Sarai. It's a bad situation. Also verse 12. And everyone's hand will be against him. Wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, everyone's hand against him. And verse 12. Also, the footnote might be helpful to you there.
11, hostility to
toward his brothers.
Yeah. The footnote talks about, maybe have it, maybe don't. He will live to the east of his brothers. That would be the Israelites.
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I have now seen the one who sees me. Explain that.
So Hagar recognized that God saw her there by the spring.
Yes.
Recognized that God saw her through her life.
Yes.
And she says, I have now laid my eyes on the one who sees me. And so what she is acknowledging there is, I have seen God.
Right. Did she?
Yes.
But in other parts of the Bible, anyone who looked upon God was struck dead.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing about the angel of the Lord, is people recognize the holiness, but it must have been, that's the thing where the Bible doesn't really describe it, right? It just tells us. But another example would have been Abram, right before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and the men that came to visit him.
Yes.
And one of them was God also.
Right.
And he looked on God.
Okay.
So there's other examples of that. I don't know what to tell you other than that God must have toned down his...
Okay.
But even so, people recognize this was God. This was the Holy... Right, she did.
Yeah.
Clearly, she did. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I don't... That's another one to ask God when we get to heaven.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a great question, because who can look on God and live?
Yeah.
No one. And yet God did appear in human form, apparently human form, or some sort of form that maybe wasn't quite as extreme as what, I don't know. Fascinating question. Okay.
Haven't you ever been like, on a mountain or looked at the ocean and you felt like you were looking at God? I mean, it's kind of a feeling too.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And the awe of, wow, this is way, this gotta be from God who did this all. Absolutely. But the difference though is that this is some sort of physical creature that apparently appeared to her. Whether physically or in a vision or what, we're not told. Again, we're not told. It's really interesting when you go really carefully through this. It's interesting what you are told. It's also interesting what you are not told. At least I find it that way.
What is on 12? My explanations in the Bible only say from far away.
Okay.
Or far away from.
Okay, yeah. And some of the Hebrew words, there's connotations to it, and we're not always sure how to translate that.
And what does yours say?
To the east of his brothers. So to the east. So far, far to the east.
That's Israel.
Yes, correct. Correct. But the translators of the Bible were not real confident in that, so they left that out and they put it in the footnote, which is why they do it. But when we see who Ishmael's descendants were and the names of his children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, we know who they are. We know where they lived. Yeah. Next page. I think we're almost out of time. Next page might be helpful to you. Top of the page, line of Israel, and some of the Arab people. So there's Abram at the top. He was literally the father of many nations. So you have Ishmael there to the right. You know, and then Ishmael's one of his sons. To the left, Isaac, right? And Isaac had two sons, Jacob. who was in the line to Israel, the father of Israel, who was Israel, also called Israel, excuse me. And then, but Jacob's brother was Esau. Esau ended up marrying one of Ishmael's descendants, and that's where you get the Arabian nations. So between Ishmael and Esau. What's that?
Clear as mud.
Yeah. So if you go far left, that's the line to Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. To the right, that's other descendants of Abraham, Ishmael, Esau, and all the Arab nations. And so you have these two nations coming from one man, and they lived right by each other, and they didn't like each other. They still don't like each other.
They still don't.
They still don't. Right. So, and then there is Abram's Middle East. It's in color for me, but I didn't use color in the copier. So hopefully you can still make it out, the mountains and whatnot, the different. You start seeing some of the different cities and places and whatnot. But at any rate. All right. And then last question. What name did Hagar give to the Lord? We already talked about that. The God who sees me. And in the footnote in my Bible, it's potentially the living God who sees me. Which is really, really interesting, as Carla pointed out. All right. And then Old Testament timeline. You can look at that. But that's, we made it through another chapter today. Excellent. Any final questions, comments? Let's close with prayer. Lord, as we look at our own lives, we recognize that we have sinned too many times to count, made too many mistakes to enumerate, and we've suffered the ramifications of those things. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you sent us Jesus, who paid for all of our mistakes, that his blood washes us clean, and that we are forgiven in your eyes because of him. Help us rejoice in your love, your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness. Help us look forward to the time when, because of Jesus, we can be with Jesus and you, dear Father, in heaven one day. Help us continue to learn and rejoice in the truths you show us in your word and treasure them always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, no, that's fine.